there's a beginning. And that.
You're listening to 108.9 FM. Adjust your frequencies. Fine-tune your mind and brace as you prepare to fall through the trap.
The universe is a dream of magic.
Welcome back to another episode of 108.9 Trapdoor Radio with me, your host, Lloyd Barnes, beaming to you from somewhere on the other side of the globe, the sawdust from between my ears, through the airwaves, into your skull. Hope you all had a great summer. We're back from the summer break. Thanks for bearing with me, for being patient. My kid went back to school on Tuesday, and it's straight back to the lab. I want to sound cool. I want to sound like my studio. I want to call it the lab, like where we make the magic, we do stuff. But it's just every time I say it, Kaylee looks at me and she's like, just shut up. Like, you just sound so lame. So, but I'll keep working on it. We're back in the lab. Yeah, we're back in the lab, baby. And thanks to the millions of you across the world. And by millions, I mean 5 or 6 of you that have been asking, when's the next episode coming back out? Well, the answer to that question, my friends, is now. If you can hear this, if you're listening to the sound of my blocked nose hay fever voice, who gets hay fever in the middle of a 2-week long rainstorm? This guy does. That's me. So anyway, in this episode we have a lot to catch up on. I don't really keep my eye or my finger on the pulse of the new releases, or I haven't been, at least for the summer. We're like a hands-on family. I don't really like, it was some holiday with my kids. I didn't want to like just be sat at home sticking them on tablets or whatever people do. We are very much out, go get them. So I haven't followed the magic industry very much. I haven't really seen many new releases. Obviously, I've seen like a couple of trailers pop up on like my YouTube channel that I like for shops that I subscribe to and things. So a little bit aware of some stuff, but in real time, in this episode, I'm going to go through some magic websites, some forums, check out what some of the new releases are, I'll watch some trailers with you, so you'll see my reaction to them in real time, and I'll share with you some big news, and that's kind of what I'll get into first, is there's some big news. Today, this year, it's kind of like the yes year, the year of saying yes, maybe, or maybe ticking off some more bucket list stuff. Well, basically, this is it. So I actually genuinely, this is not like a thing to help me get engagement or to build up like the algorithm things. I need your help because, and you'll understand why. So let me tell you the news. And then I'm just going to, your help, it's not a lot to ask. I just need some suggestions, basically, for real, like some advice down below. So that's the thing. I have a bucket list. I don't lecture, right? I say no to pretty much every single lecture request that comes in. I say no to it. And it's not because I'm too cool for school. It's not because of any spurious reasons. It's just because I don't really enjoy lecturing. It's not my thing. My passion is creating magic and making videos. I don't really have that urge to be like a live performer. I don't know. I think that's such an odd thing when I talk to people, like on the rare occasions that like lay people find out what I do for a living, when I say I do magic but I don't perform, they kind of like they look at me like that's odd, where and it is, I suppose, and then I explain it's more like singers and songwriters. You know how you have some people that love to sing and then some people that love to write songs, but those songwriters may not love to sing, and those singers may not love to write songs. It's kind of that category. It's more for me. It's the problem solving side. That's literally what it is that I love, and I like making the video side of it. Like making videos, photography. It's been my hobby since I don't know how old. So, with that being said, anyway, I always say no to lectures, but I have like this whole imposter syndrome thing, and I've been suffering with it since day dot. And so to sort of like help me get over that, I have like this little mental bucket list of like, oh, do you know what? Like if I ever got the bat call, the bat signal to go and do this, you know, it kind of in my head tells me that maybe I'm good enough. And that bucket list for conventions wise was 3. So the first one was Blackpool Magic Convention, and sure enough, like 2 years ago, what was it, three? 2 years ago, I think, I got the call, would I do Blackpool? And I said yes before I could talk myself out of it. And then I did. I opened Blackpool on the arena stage, packed out house, closed doors. And yeah, it was a total experience. Had a lot of fun. Wasn't particularly in love with it. And before that, by the way, I'd done a half kind of on the fly lecture. I say lecture in the loosest terms. I talked to like 15 people in the Philippines. I went to the Philippines to film with Ron Salamanquero for his Face Off project. When I turned up there, they had a magic club, and the magic club were like, oh, we're so excited to see you lecture tonight. And I was like, I don't lecture. Like, I've never done a lecture. So I went to the local stationery store the day of, bought some, I don't know, like sticky tape, some pens and pencils, and went and did like a little impromptu lecture in the loosest terms. Then before Blackpool, I did, I asked Harry Harrington, the president of Cardiff Magic Society. I was like, yo, next time you have a jam night, can I hijack that jam night? I don't want it advertised. I don't want people to know about it. I'm just going to turn up and do my lecture, if that's okay with you. And he did. He let me do that. I think there was like seven people there. Did my first proper lecture, which was the Blackpool Dry Run lecture. And that's actually on my Patreon. I filmed that, put it on Patreon. And so if you're a member of my Patreon, you can go and see that lecture in full. So I did that. And then a few weeks later, I did Blackpool, right? So that's my like experience of lecturing. Like, that's my full knowledge base of lecturing. And then so that's one off the bucket list done. And then the other two, well, Magic Live is one of them, just because of like the adventure of it. Not so much the prestige of it, although I think it is prestigious to do Magic Live. More of like the excitement around it. I've been to Magic Live a few times. It's one of the conventions I kind of like go into just for the vibe. But then there's the other one, and this is the big one. This to me is the one. Like, I wasn't really scared of Blackpool. I wasn't really nervous. I was like a little bit nervous, but Blackpool's a bit of Mardi Gras of magic, right? And I'll explain what I mean in a moment. So the big one to me, and it's the first one I ever did. So the big one is the Session Convention. I've been going to the Session Convention, well, since 2006 was my first one. So 2026 will be the 20th year of me going to the Session. I think I've missed two or three in total. And I always said, like, if I ever got the bat signal for the Session Convention, I would do it. I would say yes, and then panic for the following however many months I had up until it happened. And yeah, sure as shit, the bat signal came in from Andy Glavin, and he asked me, he's like, it's about time you lectured at the Session Convention. I was like, oh my god, internal panic kicked in. I said yes, and I've literally genuinely had nightmares about it ever since saying yes. So this is where, like, well, let me tell you why I'm so scared of this one. It's because, and this is no like diss on anyone, right, no diss on any conventions, but like every convention, like, people always say, what's like, in my Discord, for example, people always ask, which convention, I'm going to come to one convention this year, which one should I go to? So it's not like, there's no blanket answer, because it's like, well, what are you into? Like, if you want to go for a party and a bit of the spectacle of just seeing such a diverse en masse scale of magic, and you want like a bit of like a holiday camp vibe, then go to Blackpool. Like I said, it's like the Mardi Gras. If you want to go for like a surprise and an adventure, you go to Magic Live, because you never know who's lecturing. It's kind of like, you know, Las Vegas and everything. And if you ever want to go to learn, if you want to learn from the best magicians in the world, you go to the session. I've said that my whole magic career. Like, those are, if people are asking which three conventions to go to, or what, which one should they go to, and those are the three options, that's my layout. The problem being is that 2026, they're going to have the best magicians in the world and Lloyd Barnes. And my imposter syndrome is ramping up into complete overdrive. I look at the people that lecture at the Session Convention, and I should not be sharing a stage with those people. And I don't want people in the comments down below, don't waste your time saying, oh, Lloyd, you're just saying, you know, you're going to do great. You know, you should be whatever. Don't say it. I can't, like, I know I shouldn't be there. Somehow I've managed to find myself being invited in. probably just through loyalty tokens, like loyalty stuff, just go in so much, like just fucking let him on the stage. You do it. So with that being said, this is where I need your help. If you're going to see, I'm assuming, right, I don't want to be egotistical or arrogant, but I'm assuming if you're watching my channel, then like you follow me, at least you subscribe to me. And if you subscribe to me, it means you might be interested in seeing me lecture. If you are interested in seeing me lecture, the question is that I want you to answer down below in the comments is, what would you want to see from me? Because I know my entire body of work better than anyone else because it's mine. But I don't know. I forget how diverse my magic catalog is. Like, the majority of you watching on YouTube will think of me as the guy who makes magic gimmicks. If you follow me from the magic industry, you'll think of me with all the products that are out there. Some people only know of my apps. Like, people forget that I created with Will Jones the first calculator app. That before us, there was no calculator that did the cipher. It was before iThemp. It was before anything else. I've been doing apps for a long, long time. I've got Cipher, Tempus, Picasso Pro, Cognito, Maxim, and probably some others that I'm forgetting about. So some people only really know me for the apps that I do. So it's like I have this diverse catalog, but this is the reason why I'm thinking this. That sounds like a really humble brag section, and I feel terrible. I don't mean it like that. But my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law went to go and see Tom Jones in concert, and I said, how was the concert? And they said, it sucked. I was like, what? You went to see Tom Jones in Wales, where we live, in Cardiff Castle, which is like his home stomping ground, sort of biggest place, you know, most important place you can play. So how could it suck? Like, you know, off night or bad voice? And they said, no, he just played his new album and nobody knew any of the songs. And I was like, okay, I get it. And that's happened to me. I've been to concerts to see my favorite bands, and they've literally just spent the entire time playing their new stuff, which nobody knew. Which, I get it, it's different from magic, right? But I don't understand. I don't. This is the question, I think, then, maybe, mainly, is I don't really understand what my brand is. So I don't know what people want to see me deliver. Maybe I do a bit of everything, right? Maybe I do some gimmick magic, some visual impromptu magic. Maybe I do some app magic. I'm not sure. One thing's for certain, though, is that, like I did with Blackpool, it's not going to be a dealer dem. I think the worst lectures, I'm really lucky in a sense that I've seen, probably for my age at least, almost as many, more lectures than anyone where I am, because I've been to so many damn conventions. So I've seen the good and the bad. And I think the worst lectures are the ones that are just dealer dems. And if you don't know what a dealer dem is, it's basically where they bring a bunch of products with them, and their lecturer is just showing you how those products work. And at the end, they say, you can buy the gimmicks here. There are a lot of lecturers that do that. I think that's the worst. At Blackpool, I did sell a Blackpool pack, but this is because, so my entire lecture, every single thing in my lecture, you could learn it there and then and make it or perform it there and then. That was the whole point of the lecture, is that it was very like hands-on. I was speaking to Pete Turner. He was like, Lloyd, what you don't understand is that like you'll have people in that room that have come to Blackpool just to see your lecture, just to see you. And those people will want to take home something of yours. And I get it. Like, not, I don't mean that. I went to see Michael Amar. I bought Michael Amar's lecture notes because I wanted Michael Amar to sign them. So, not in a bad way, but his lecture was the lecture notes. So I'd learnt the stuff there, but it was nice to have that memorabilia. And I'm in no way, shape or form Michael Amar to anyone. But there might be one or two people in the audience that want like some form of memorabilia. So there'll be something there that you could pick up. But one of the core focuses of my lecture is that it's not going to be a dealer dem. So everything will be in some way, shape or form actionable, like practical. Like if every trick that you watch in my lecture, you'll be able to either perform it immediately or go home and do it immediately. And I think I'm going to probably give away some new and exclusive app as well for free. If I can, I have two or three that I've been working on in the background that I think I'm going to give away at least one of them, which would be pretty cool. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I want to know in the comments down below, like, what do you want to see from me? Is it just like the app stuff? Is it like some of the stuff? Because, like, I know on Patreon is like my best stuff. Like, it's like my top tier magic and I don't share it anywhere else. So people don't know what I think my good material is. Like, they haven't seen it. So maybe it's some stuff from there. Do I create an entirely new lecture? Which is a bit of a challenge, but a fun challenge. Do I teach some things that I've shown before? Or maybe with some new twists on it. I have a cool, I won't say what it is, but I do have one idea already that I've been sort of slowly chipping away at in the background, which sort of takes one of the things I'm most well known for, one of the tricks I'm most, visual tricks that I'm most well known for, and leaves everyone with a what the. At the end, it's like everyone thinks that they know how it's done, and then I'll leave everyone with like a, whoa, that's not possible thing. So I'm pretty sure that's going in there. I know like one or two other tricks that are going in there, I think. But really, I just don't know what to do. Like if I know, for example, if I was going to go and watch Luba lecture, then I'd want to see anything to do with chemicals and cool science-based illusions. If I was going to go and see Paul Harris lecture, I would want to see his interest in creative tricks that use cards that have been torn up or cut up or reshaped in some way. If I was going to see Mark Kirstein lecture, I'd want to see new ideas and apps. All app-based stuff. That's not to say that the other ideas, like the other creations, are not good. It's just that I like, you know, like, yeah, like going to see Tom Jones or your favorite band or your favorite artist. You want to go and hear their classics. However, that's not the same for comedy, is it? Like, you go and see a comedian, you don't want to hear them tell the same jokes. So I don't know. I'm just very confused. I've got till January. It's now September. In the interim, though, I've said yes to, I think, three lectures. So three lecture requests have come in since then. And I thought, you know what, it'd be good to practice by doing those. So saying yes to those. So I've got one in Ireland in a month on like October the 4th or 5th or 6th. I'm doing one in Cardiff. Oh, I think I've got four lectures that have come in since and I've said yes to them. One in Cardiff. One in Bristol, I think, with Harry. He was like, come along, we'll do Bristol. So like that. And then another one, which I don't think it's been announced yet, but it's in like, this is a really prestigious place, one of the most prestigious places in the UK. And I was voted for to be the one of the two star lecturers on this day event thing. So I said yes to that because all this is going to be good practice because like, I felt like I could like sort of not like Blackpool, like there was an eclectic mix of audience members. From some people are just in Blackpool to go and get drunk, so they don't care. Some people are there. So like there was a whole range of like audience members. You know, there were some really good ones there. I remember I seen one guy, Gabriel Werner, who's a genius. The Green, is that how you say his surname? The Green, let me search it. The Green Neck System, Gabriel Werner, is it? Verlin, sorry, I apologize. I am an idiot. I truly am an idiot, and that is embarrassing. Yeah, but Gabriel Werner was at my lecture. I consider him to be an actual living genius. I think most magicians do. He was at my lecture. He actually came up to me last Blackpool and said that he's been using something that I taught in my lecture, which blew my mind. And I'll explain why or what he said in a roundabout way, because it's very relevant to the session. I'll probably teach that at the session because it's very apt for the session. But yeah, so I had people. I know it was just a wide range of people. It was like people, literal geniuses, and then there were some people in my lecture that I don't even think were into magic. Like I don't think they were. I think they were just there for the party. Like they'd come along with people as their plus one. But you don't really get that at the session convention. You don't. Like it's very much a, like Blackpool people take their family members. They take their kids. They take their friends. And some people are like, just, they just see it as a big, like cool thing. So they come, but you don't get that at the session. So what I mean is like at Blackpool, I could kind of get on that stage and I could, the level of the magic that I taught didn't have to be as high. I think that's probably the best way to phrase it. Whereas the session, it has to be, I think anyway. Again, like I've seen incredible lectures there that I've, like the first time I was talking about this with Colin Hay and Damien Jennings. Damien Jennings interviewed me for the Insider podcast the other day. And he was at the same session when we first ever saw Danny DeOrtis live. Like nobody knew who he was. Josh and Andy had said there's a show coming up, this Spanish magician called Danny DeOrtis. Nobody's heard of him, doing two shows. You get a ticket to the first show, you get a ticket to the second show. I was at the second show, so was Damien. And obviously he is like the greatest living card magician of this era. That was the first time we experienced him. So I've seen like magicians like Danny DeOrtis there. And then I've seen some like real, like, I don't know, some there's lectures that I'll never remember seeing there. Maybe it's the best way to say it. I just don't want to fall into that category. You know what? Mainly I just want to get through it without completely making a dick of myself. So maybe that's just the goal. Like just aim for the stars, and if you fall under the clouds sort of approach. Anyway, I'm gonna try and bring my A game. Gonna get some practice in. Hopefully I don't fail. I'd love to know though what you guys would want to see from me in a lecture. I in my head, especially as well, like creating and consulting, I have such a wide range of magic, but I don't really know what my brand is. So if you guys would comment down below, come and see the lecture, please come along. If you're in two minds of, or three minds, or if you're like, oh, I'm going to go to one convention this year. I already know the WhatsApp groups that I'm in. The boys have started chatting which conventions to pick. If you don't know which convention to pick, please consider picking the convention to come and hang out with me. And that, the session, because, and that's the dope thing about the session. That's why it was always like the special one, is because it's the one where you get to hang out with the guys that are on stage, like the lecturers. I remember I went to my first session convention, and I didn't know who he was at the time because I was 16 years old. But there was this magician doing the best cut. He was a Las Vegas magician in the lobby talking to me and my friend Owen. We'd driven up there. We were 16. I was 16 years old, like literally a nobody. And he'd sat in the lobby for like 2 hours just showing us the most amazing card magic. And then another guy as well. But it turns out the first guy was Alan fucking Ackerman. And he just sat with just two little scrawny, I was chubby, useless kids and just blew our minds, like forever, like evolved my brain. The other guy that just sat there just showing us dope stuff and didn't have to do any of that because he could have been off hanging out with some of the big names that were there was Tyler Wilson. Like Tyler Wilson, a god tier magician, just sat there showing our scrawny asses. Like he has this card warp from his book called Dominatrix. And it's a card warp, but he tears the middle out with a folded round card. And when you push it through back and forth, it's invisible. The card becomes invisible. And then it ends by the two cards become like impossibly linked together, which just completely blew my mind. Like I didn't like, yeah, it was just what the hell. And that was just like in the lobby. And that's the beauty of the session. So if you just want to come and hang for a couple of days in London, it's super easy to get to as well. It's literally Heathrow Airport, which is the most accessible airport, I think, in the UK. So wherever you are, you literally just drive to Heathrow Airport. There's a big hotel there called the Radisson. I think it's the Radisson Blu. And should come. It's amazing. Yeah, so I don't know. What do you want to see? What do you want to see from me? What do you want to see me do? Do you just want to hear me talk nonsense? Is that a thing? I don't know. Yeah, so that's the big news. I've rambled a lot there. That's like 25 minutes of me talking shit about how nervous I am for a lecture. Like, this is the thing. You guys probably think, like, I feel like I'm fairly proficient at magic. I'm not a performer, but I perform magic. I just don't enjoy gigging. I don't enjoy stage performances and stuff. It's just not my style. But, like, I'm just a normal guy. Like, I'm very nervous to do this, and I think it's important sometimes to see that the people that, like, some people may watch me on YouTube and think, oh, this guy, I you know, maybe I'll never be able to do what he can do or in the way he can do it, but just know that I'm literally normal, living, breathing, pooping dude I'm terrified. I think it's good to have nerves. I think it's really good to have nerves. I was told years ago, you should never go to the gym unless you were nervous to work out. And then I meant the boxing gym. I've always like channeled that, because it was like, if you're nervous, you at least for me, when I'm nervous and I have that like skittish energy, it makes me zone in and think really hard about my each and every next step and next thought that I have. Whereas if I'm relaxed and I get cocky about anything, if I've ever been too overconfident, is when I make mistakes and when I fail. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd hate to be, I hope I don't turn up on the day, I'm like, I've got this in the bag, I've done 4 practice lectures, I know what I'm doing, and then I just literally screw up every double lift and flash every trick that I do. So, yeah, and I've certainly seen that happen before. I hope I'm not that guy. Anyway, 25 minutes of rambling. I bet I've lost the entire crowd. So if you're still listening, congratulations, well done. You have made it this far. Give yourselves a pat on the back. Let's talk about some new tricks that have been out there. And before I do, I went to a magic show with Kaylee that was near my local town in Swansea. It's like 20 minutes away down the road, because I seen one of my good friends, Javier Benitez, who I think is one of the living grandmasters of magic, but I think he's the least well-known grandmasters of magic. Studied under Ascanio, his friend of Danny Dorty's, from Seville. I've been to Seville, stayed with him. He's fooled Penn and Teller. Well, we messaged back and forth over the years, and it's like, oh yeah, like, you know, we'll hang out and things. And then I seen he was performing a show with Taylor Morgan that Taylor Morgan had organized with Aaron Crow and Taylor's partner, who I'm going to kick myself for not remembering the name, but it was called Phenomenal. Let me find the name on my Instagram. The show was called Phenomenal, and we had Rebecca Foyle, Aaron Crow, Taylor Morgan, Javi Benitez, and it's like this new show of variety of magician acts. And it was just like 25 minutes up the road. For reference, I don't live in London. I don't live in a big city like Edinburgh or Manchester. I live in a tiny coastal town. I live like literally in the sticks away from everything. I was talking about this to David Jennings. I was like, when I was younger, I used to be so resentful towards magicians who I felt were just getting the spotlight because they had friends. They were in London. You know, I don't know, but we don't get things like that. You know, like one of the biggest magic events that happened in Wales was Wayne Dobson performing at my local theatre when I was 5 years old or 6 years old, like 30 years ago. Like, that was a huge event. So for Javi Benitez, an actual living, breathing grandmaster in my mind of magic. And if you see him perform, you'd be like, yeah, he's a fucking grandmaster. Being like 20 minutes on the road, I was like, Kenny, we're gonna go see him. So yeah, went to see the show. It was phenomenal. Blew me by phenomenal by name, phenomenal by nature. Some real, like, Aaron Crow does like death defying smash and stab style magic. And Taylor did some incredible stage magic. He had this amazing act with balloons that he hasn't under his control. Then the balloon flips upside down. Then Rebecca Foyle, who's his partner, she did some amazing like dancing cane work and an amazing needle swallowing illusion. And my son Thomas went to watch it the second day because I went the first day. He went to watch it the second day because they missed the start of their Paw Patrol show and they were in Swansea again. I was like, oh, I'll get you tickets. Go see the show again. He loved the act. He loved the... And he's 4 years old. So to me, I thought that was going to be a bit like... If you have a four-year-old or if you had kids, you'll know that like four-year-olds are kind of... Like that might be a bit too much for them to comprehend. But he loved that sword swallowing. The needle and thread swallowing act. And then Javi just crushed it. He did his total restored thread routine, which I filmed with him in Seville. I discovered him doing that in South Korea when I was over there at FISM. And yeah, it was just good to catch up. It was only brief because we had to get out of there because he was signing autographs at the end. He was like literally swarmed by people at the end on the night that I went. And it was going to be like an hour and a half queue when I got kids. So had a brief catch up, but that was like one of the highlights of my summer magic wise. And it was just good to see Hav, and we're gonna hang out again. He's gonna come back over to Wales and just I think he's gonna be touring with the show with Taylor and Rebecca and Aaron. So yeah, it was just like really exciting experience. But anyway, I'm well aware that I'm rambling, and I'm well aware that Thurston poster in the background is itching to get itself focused on. By the way, if you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the notification bell. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, hit the follow button and the subscribe thingamajiggle. And but we're about to get into now some new releases. Gonna go check out some the Big Green Monster website. Gonna go look at some magic shop websites and just see sort of what's floating about in the ether that I haven't seen or may have like glanced at, and give you my live real-time reactions to that stuff. So let's go. Oh, pardon me. That was my morning coffee trying to get back out the front end. Let's go check this stuff out. All right. So, let me see what we got here. Let's refresh this page. We're on the Magic Cafe. If you are watching on YouTube, then you'll be able to see the screen. If not, and you're listening on Spotify, I'm going to narrate what I can see. However, don't think that I'm... If you're watching on YouTube and wondering why I'm narrating everything, it's for the people listening at home. All right, so we have a couple of things. We have Pathfinder. Now, this is the problem. I'm not going to be able to play the audio. And I think this Pathfinder by the Daily Magician is a mentalism trick. So it's going to be kind of hard for me to play and review this. And it's a 7-minute trailer. So we'll check this out maybe another time, purely because of the platform that I'm viewing this on. So one thing that I did see was this no-risk ring flight. And what I want to play in particular is a clip that I know is on page 7. Haha. And that is this video of, who is it? Darren. I'm crazy, man. So this is Darren performing the ring flight to a live audience in the UK. And I want to just talk about this, is that when it comes to like magic and products and reviews, there is so much people misattribute to magic reviews. And my own personal theory and thoughts on magic reviews has stood me well. And what I think is that like mainly the only thing that really matters on a magic trick, on a magic product, is if you buy it, can you perform it? And does it get good reactions? Obviously. If the answer to that question or those two questions is yes, then 90% of the other stuff for the product is essentially inconsequential, unless it's so bad that like it falls apart. But people are so lazy these days. Like, there's a difference, right? There's two types of magicians, and I've said this for the last 20 years on a parapet to anyone that listens. There are two types of people. There are people who do magic tricks, and there are magicians. And the people who do magic tricks want to buy something out of the box, and they're not willing to work for it in any way. And then there are magicians who are masters of every facet of their craft, which means that I believe that if you are a magician inherently, that you should be, anything you buy, you should really be taking apart and rebuilding it to make it your own. I don't mean that literally in a physical sense. Sometimes, yes. But in a sense of, if a product comes with a certain script, you shouldn't even be considering that, really. It should just be whatever your character is. You should create your own script. You should always sort of be adapting the effect to look, make it look your own, make it your own. You should totally be willing and open to modifying the method to make it fit better for you. Like in this thread I've seen the other day for this no risk ring flight, somebody says like the first thing they've done is find a better way of tying the knots for the shoelaces. And this is the thing, right? Magic reviews don't really count unless someone shows a live performance of the effect. And if they haven't performed it and they can't prove to you they performed it, then 90% of what's important is not being addressed or acknowledged. And it's kind of like reviewing a car before ever driving it. It's like, you know, it's irrelevant. It's null and void unless there's footage of them performing it, right? That's why every time I do a trick on Kaylee on Fula, she's not a magician. She kind of knows a bit about magic, but nowhere to the, you know, she's not a magician. She's a layperson, and every trick she sees, it's the first time she sees it, and there's no fake reactions. What you see, and that's why I think the Fula series on my channel is so successful and so popular, is because it's the actual stuff you need to see for a magic review. What is this trick? How does this trick affect the layperson? Can it be performed? What does the uncut performance look like? That's pretty much all you need to know. And so I went into this no risk ring flight thread. I just literally skipped to a page and I found a performance video. I was like, okay, cool. I've seen the trailer. It's a trailer, magic trailer. You can make anything look good in a trailer. You can make anything look bad in a trailer. And I saw this live performance and this is all I needed to see. So I'm going to play it. This is from Darren. Dazza Magic 1 on YouTube. And I'll preface it. It's fucking great. So I'm going to play this in full.
Fuck you guys.
Apologies for the bad language.
That is crazy. Listen, I'm going to show you something very unusual.
So he's borrowed a ring. He's borrowed a very unique looking ring. He places it in his fist.
Inside my pocket here. I think I have...
Inside his pocket, he's reaching for... He's looking for his lighter. Okay.
My lighter's in the bag, but we're going to pretend.
I love that. He makes the ring vanish. He doesn't make a big deal about not even bringing out a lighter. He's like, it's gone. Whatever. And he's asking it, like, do you know where the ring's gone? Where do you think it's gone? They have no idea. She's kind of worried. He creates the perfect misdirection. He's like, it's back on your finger. It breaks the tension. Everyone looks away and laughs. Now he's building up some tension because she's like, okay, that was funny, but where the hell's my ring? Look, he's building up. He knows what to do. This guy can perform. This guy can really perform. Now he brings it all down. Here's the moment of truth.
It's on here somewhere.
And he shows that ring is now tied to his shoelace. And she starts freaking the hell out. She's literally freaking the out now.
I have no idea how.
And yeah, so you can go find that. It's on page 7 of the Magic Cafe. That's all I need to see. That is all I need to see. I don't care about anything else about the product. That tells me that guy is an independent purchaser. He's purchased it. He's performing it. He's got dope reactions. I don't care about anything else. If there's issues where, I don't know, some part of the product maybe... I'm not even saying this is the thing. I'm just enjoying it in general, but like, I don't care about anything else. If I can buy that product and do that trick, which he just did, that's all that matters. And look at that. I think that to me is better than a trailer. That is better than a trailer. The only thing that I would change, or the only thing that you can't really get by not having that in a trailer is the fact that this guy's unaffiliated with the product. So, you know, the perfect trailer would be like, look, this dude bought this trick. He doesn't even like me. Like, here he is performing and crushing with it. Like, that's the best endorsement you could ever get. And so, yeah, great performance. The guy really understood when to build tension, when to break tension, when to build it up, when to misdirect. And also you could see like the guy didn't sweat the small stuff here. Like he reached in his pocket for a lighter, either by design or by accident. He was like, I don't have a lighter, but I don't care. I've seen so many magicians crumble when they get to a point in their routine and they may have misplaced a prop or they don't know what to do. Or they just kind of stop dead and that's kind of like the end of the trick for them, you know, or they just go to mush. Not for this guy. This guy just completely crushed it. And sorry, I thought my mic was off then. I was like having a little mini panic attack. But yeah, so that's called No Risk. No Risk, the safest ring flight ever. By, who is this by? It's on Magie Factory, which is a French magic site. Created by Chris Torrent. And I think I looked at the price, was it yesterday? By the way, I had to record this podcast, or at least the start of it, twice, because yesterday I had to skip out. But it's £52, which is pathetically cheap. If you think about that effect, and let me just break down why that effect is so good. And this is going to sound utterly ridiculous to some of you listening, but the effect is magic, right? It's actually a magic trick. Because we forget, right? We get so wrapped up in, especially someone like myself, in certain card tricks, for example, right? Any card, any number is a prime example. It's not a magic trick. It's not a magic trick because what's happening is not impossible. It's improbable, but it's absolutely possible. If I give you a deck of cards and said, name any card and name any number, there's a 1 in 52 chance. If I give you that deck 50 times, that card could end up there, right? And I drop a card on the floor. If a card out of this world is another example, right? If I said, take the deck, shuffle it, and just deal two random piles, it's very, 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 very improbable, but somebody out there will deal that deck into two even splits, reds and blacks. It may not happen for a year or two, but it'll happen. It's not impossible. It's highly improbable. But I see so many magicians performing so much magic. Like I pick a card, find a card trick, right? I'm going to find your card. It's gonna be the one that, you know, the 10 card find or all of gambling routines. All gambling routines encompassing. They're not magic, right? And they get confused with magic quite often. This is a magic trick. First of all, the ring vanishes. And it incorporates one of the core elements of magic, which I think people often forget also. It has possibly the most important element to a magic trick, which is the surprise element. Okay? For example, with an ambitious card routine, right? I tell them, your card is going to come to the top. So it goes into the middle. And where does it come? It comes to the top, which is exactly what I told them it's going to do. There's a big debate over ambitious card, whether people should, you know, once you start to do the card to mouth element to it, or it becomes a solid deck or whatever, then it's not an ambitious card. The tricky part is then like, but you also lose the surprise element to it. Yeah. But like so much magic happens and there's no surprise. I tell you I'm going to put this phone in the bottle or this coin in the bottle. The coin goes into the bottle. It's no surprise. I think one of the most important factors to magic tricks is that surprise element. You all know I do this because I just talk about it constantly, but I always, 99% of the time, I open with Crazy Man's handcuffs. And I never do it in my hands. I only do it in the participant's hands, right? But I do three phases. What first phase, it melts through. No one really knows what's going to happen. So it's a kind of a surprise. Second phase, it melts through again, but they're all looking for it. And this is my conditioning section, because the third phase, it's completely in two participants' hands. So I don't even touch the rubber bands. They have them linked together. I get the second participant, who would essentially be where I was for the first two phases. They start to rub the bands down, and one of the bands completely vanishes or melts into the other one, whichever way they want to perceive it. And that's the surprise element. And it's something which gets people completely losing their minds. Completely losing. It's why Two Card Monty is such a good piece of magic. Because they think it's going one way, it goes another. And yeah, I've gone off on a tangent, but I think, have a look at all the tricks that you do. and ask yourselves which one of them, which ones out of my set, literally stop the video right now, right? Pause the video, ask, write down, say, what are my seven deadly tricks, right? Seven tricks that I do on the most regular basis. And then ask yourselves how many of those are actually magic tricks as opposed to improbabilities. And then ask yourselves, out of those magic tricks, which ones have the surprise, the excitement element to it? And I guarantee you, or I can almost guarantee you, that if you were to then go back to that list and say, right, I'm going to cross out the ones that have no surprises. I'm going to cross out the ones that are just improbable. And I'm going to fill those spaces in with new magic tricks. Or tricks, not new, they don't have to be new, but other tricks that I do that have a surprise element and are actually magic, you will see the level of your performances increase exponentially through the roof as a magician. If you want to be a gambling expert demonstrator, then maybe do it the opposite way around, right? Cross out anything that can have a magic explanation. Do it as just an improbable explanation or just a sleight of hand explanation. But yeah, I guarantee if you want to be a better magician, one simple thing you can do right now is literally just look at your set list, cross off what's improbable. Because when it's improbable, it gives them a method. If they have a method for one thing, they'll slowly start to fall into that pattern of, oh, well, if that's how that worked, there must be a way to do that. And I don't ever want that feeling. I know Penn and Teller talk about, you know, you should never let them feel that false belief of suspended disbelief. But I'm happy to do it. I'm not happy to just tell them it's real magic. I'm happy to let them have no explanation at all, right? Just a thing with me. I'm happy to give them no answer. Not to say that it's real magic or that actually it was just like a hand. Sorry to let you down. I'm just happy to let them live in limbo. But yeah, I guarantee if you're looking to be a better magician, the first thing you do is just pick better tricks. Pick tricks that are magic. Pick tricks that are going to give your audiences surprises. I don't mean like cheesy surprises, but something, yeah. I mean, one of the core elements of magic is that surprise element, I believe, anyway. So yeah, that has it, right? The ring vanishes. Everyone's wondering where it goes. He says it's on your finger. They're like, what the hell? No, it's tied to my shoelace. And it's kind of like a roundhouse kick. We're like, what the? That can't be possible because you haven't even been near your shoes. That would insinuate that you don't have to be tied on there. People know instinctively you have to tie your shoelaces, so it incorporates this moment of, well, you it's not possible because you would have, I know to do that, you would have to stop and do your shoelaces up. And I also think you would have a bit of fun with this too, right? You could imagine just before you go up and perform, right? So not a gig and set, but say you're in someone's house. And you know that you're going to end up performing stood in front of their kitchen table, right? You come in, everyone is busy out in the garden, right? Maybe you're at a barbecue party. Later on, when it gets cold, you're all going to come in. You spend 2 minutes with your phone in front of you, maybe, I don't know, right? You place it on the floor and you bend down and you cover what could be a ring in your hand, or you use a dupe, right? If it's just silver/gold, and you tie it onto your shoelace, right? And now this is the performance, right? This is what I mean about, like, if you're a magician, you should be able to make tricks your own. Like, every trick you buy off the shelf, think about doing it your own way. But this could be potentially a way that you do it, right? To just completely enhance this moment entirely for free. You borrow someone's finger ring, okay? And you make it vanish. But you say, actually, I'm going to let you in on the secret here. I'm telling you from a performance point of view that this ring is going to vanish. But there's actually a scientific way that this has been done. Have you seen those floating Levitron machines? You can buy them off Amazon. You can make like a light bulb float. And the way it works is electromagnets pushing in opposing directions. And by rotating, it keeps the thing balanced and it'll appear like it's floating. But really, it's actually being suspended. It's being held in place in a sense. It's not magic, but God damn it, it looks like magic, right? But when you know the explanation, it suddenly becomes less incredible. I'm not going to make this ring vanish. I'm just simply going to stop time. I'm going to stop time when you think nothing's happened. In that moment, I'm going to take the ring and put it somewhere else. So that when I open my fist back up, you're going to think that it's just disappeared and teleported. Really, I've just slowed everything down. Or, for you, sped everything up really quick. So the next 10 seconds are going to happen now. Did you see the moment? Did it look like it disappeared? Yes, it did. Do you know where it went? Blah, blah, blah. No. Well, actually, I thought I'd do something so ridiculous. I would do something that I'd put it somewhere that the only way, somewhere that you would know that I had to have stopped time to do it. I took the ring out of my hand. I went down onto the floor, got on one knee, undid my shoelaces, wrapped the ring around the shoelace, tied my shoelaces back up in a nice bow, stood back up, and then continued on. Don't believe me? Look at my shoelaces. Everyone looks down. What the fuck is tied to your shoelaces? That's insane. That's real magic. And then as a convincer, you could be like, I knew you wouldn't believe me, so I also took a moment to film it as well. And now you're standing by that kitchen table, you show just a little clip of you like down on your knee, tying the shoelace onto your shoe. And that's it, like your extra little convincer moment. And now suddenly, it's not a vanishing magic trick. It's a pseudo explanation science trick where they can either choose to believe that was the method, or they can choose to believe that it was done by real magic or some other method, you know? But again, improvising, doing a bit of extra work, making it your own, that's the stuff that takes any trick from a trick off the shelf, a magic trick that either you're a person that does magic tricks or you're a magician. The magicians out there are going to find the way to make it awesome, you know? Is there anything else on here? I did want to talk about, actually, I was lucky enough. There was a Nicholas Lawrence trick. Let me see if I can find it. Is it this one? It's not, I don't think it was this one called The Final Cut. Let me see. It's a vanishing deck trick by Nicholas. Yeah, it is this one. It is this one. Right, so I'm going to play this trailer for you. I was lucky enough to see the method to this. And on the surface of this, right? So basically, it's a vanishing... You have a deck of cards. And then you cover it with multiple different variation handlings, right? But in a moment, right, half the deck diminishes. You could see, like, it's literally half the deck's gone. And then another moment, it's down to one card. And the deck's vanished. I watched this trick, right? No word of a lie. And I thought, oh, it kind of looks like Level 1 by Christian Grace. Because I know, you know, that's an amazing piece of magic. Then I watched it again. I was like, oh, hang on. If it was Level 1, then he wouldn't be able to show the face of the deck at that point, at the halfway mark. Which is kind of amazing. And then I saw the method. And although it has, like, kind of, like, foundational similarities to Level 1. I mean, I think it's okay to say this, because like, I don't know if this is a diss at all to Christian Grace, but you know, it's been like, I don't know, 7 years since Level 1 came out. This is genuinely absolutely brilliant. The method to this is not what I thought it was at all. It has like foundational roots in it. It's not what I thought it was. And it's so, so, so clever. It's so practical. I actually think it would be a lot easier to perform than Level 1. And I'm not, again, no diss whatsoever to Level 1. I love Christian. I love Level 1. This thing is, if you're a fan of Nicholas Lawrence's magic, and you're a fan of how, what's the right word? Maybe, not just practical, but also efficient his gimmicks are. And a very lateral thinking as well. This is classic Nicholas Lawrence at his best. And I'm going to play the trailer in the background. But basically, yeah, he's just got the deck. He rotates it around. Half the deck vanishes. Rotates it around again. The rest of the deck vanishes. And then he can hand that card out. The final card's completely clean. But the method is not what I thought it was. I just want to say that. And it's so... Magic's the strangest industry in the world. It's like selling a car, but you can't tell someone that it's got... that it's electric. You can't tell someone that it's four-wheel drive. You can't tell someone that it's got self-steering wheels or whatever. All that, you know, the comparisons that for a car, that's the method, right? We can't really talk about the method. You just got to kind of take my word for it. But it's very clever, very practical, and there's some really great handlings on here. But the main thing for me was that I was surprised. I was really surprised. It wasn't what I thought it was. And yeah, let me just play these elements of the trailer again. So yeah, bravo, Nick. again, classic Nicholas Lawrence thinking. Super, super visual and very easy to do. That's the main takeaway. Very, very easy to do. Look at that. You can just lift up half the deck and it vanishes. And again, all those incredible Nicholas Lawrence handlings are part of the package. So not just like one static vanish. Like you've got all these different crazy handlings and fooling parts to it. Just beautiful work, again, as always, by Nicholas Lawrence. So that's called The Final Cut by Nicholas Lawrence. Exclusively available at his website, nicholaslawrencepresents.com. Yo, 34 quid. That is dirt cheap. I swear to you, didn't know the price. I thought it was going to be like 50 quid. Yep. Phenomenal. Phenomenal price. So go to nicholaslawrence.com, pick up The Final Cut if you like that kind of thing, if you want to do that trick. The nice thing about it is that you could easily ring this into a deck and out of a deck with ease. Like, it's not going to be one of those things that, and it looks pretty durable from what I saw as well. So yeah, it just looks great. Okay, so I'm trying to think. We're coming up to the hour mark. Is there anything else? I mean, there's so many good things on here. What's Sealed 3 by Axel Heckler? Is that a new version of Healed and Sealed? Is it? Ah, no. Ooh, Sealed Cubed, I think that's the name of it. The three sealed envelopes starter pack. With sign, and look at that, I'm a sucker for a signed card in a window of an envelope or any other object. Let me check this out. Okay, I'm going in blind. I have no idea what this is. But it's 99 euros.
This one in your pocket and you'll always be ready for a great finale for a card routine. For instance, with a signed card. So you'll lose a signed card in the deck. And a moment later, do you remember? Hey, we had this sealed envelope in my pocket. And it's not only sealed, it has also this strip here to find inside another envelope. And this one is also sealed and can be given to the spectator. He can examine everything up close and he will find another opening strip. And inside that one, we have another envelope and it's also sealed, but this one he will never ever open because he can clearly see his sign on his card.
What?
Inside the sealed envelope. So that's Sealed 3.
Yeah, you don't need a full-blown trailer for that. That is just god damn. Ugh. Oh, that looks so good. I don't do that's like a bit of a parlor piece, right? You wouldn't necessarily walk around the streets doing that. But god damn. If I did parlor, that would absolutely be in my set. I can't tell you, if you've never done like signed card to envelope or signed card to wallet, just how insane it is to a layperson. It just doesn't compute in their minds. This thing. What email, like, teller said something about it. There cannot be a more beautiful and impenetrable way to make an object appear in a nest of envelopes. The spectator gets to take away an impossible object that drives home the miracle. Perfection. And you may quote me. I would literally, I would have, if I ever receive an email like that from teller, I would officially slime myself. And I'm just going to say it out there like that. Apologies for the language. Oh, that looks so good. So good. So what you get? 99 euros. What's that in real money? Is it like 75 quid or is it the other way around? I'm not a robot, Google. Why would Google think I'm a robot? Like, come on. £86 for that. Okay, so what'd you get? 35 of everything. Like 35 of everything seems like 35 gimmicks. So, and 105 stickers. So, what's that? 35 performances, 86 divided by 35, £2.50 a performance. If you are a parlor magician or a gigging magician and you're not willing to spend a couple of quid per performance, like in general, then get out of there. Like, don't stop it. Like, if you're not willing to invest not tiny amount of money per performance to give your spectators incredible magic, then maybe you're not thinking about what's important. That looks absolutely perfect. Bloody hell. Wow. Ah, well. Seeing a good piece of magic that I've never seen before always makes my day. Like, I feel hyped after seeing that. So that looks great. As I was saying, well thought out is an understatement. Alex even includes a pocket height adjustment device that goes so far as to describe using an ice cube to cool the wax sealing tool if you are preparing multiple envelopes and choose to use an actual seal on them. Wow. This is, yeah. I mean, Axel's known for the incredible quality of his work and how incredible of a thinker he is. It's one of those things, right? I don't need to see any more than that video. That's all I need to see. I am blown the F away by that. And so what else we have here? Now, there is some... I see, obviously, Airflight has been crushing it. Mark Bennett's incredible. I think it's literally the best ring flight on the market to this point, because it's like it's the most universal ring flight, but that can be left for another day. I think I've done a whole episode like dedicated to how good that is. There is a bit of drama, I think, happening in the magic industry, and I don't know too much about it. Is this still in the wrong place? But I will say that I was at the Session Convention a year or two ago, and I saw Elliot Gerard doing this on-off type trick where he actually took his fucking pinky off, like legit pinky off. And it's not exposed the method, right? Basically, Elliot had a movie grade quality, maybe even better than a movie grade quality. It was the most realistic fake finger I've ever seen. And he was showing me like Nick Lawrence's on-off using that finger, and it completely, everybody that saw it was just like jaws on the floor. And then I saw on Instagram everyone posting, like Nick Lawrence and Elliot Gerard and a bunch of people being like, yo, Elliot showed Sam, Crazy Sam, this at Blackpool, he loved it, and now Crazy Sam's releasing it as his. I don't know what the drama is. I don't want to insinuate that Sam is pinch or anything. I'm repeating what the Instagram posts said, okay? I don't want to stir up any bad blood here, but that's what the Instagram posts were saying, was that Elliot showed Crazy Sam this. Crazy Sam loved it, and now he's releasing it as his own, and now it's on Hans and Chen's website. So, yeah. So I it's a really great looking trick, but I am remiss to really dive into it until the beef has been settled. I don't know what that is. Maybe I shouldn't include this in here, but I don't know. This probably all sound, and apologies to Crazy Sam and Hans and Chen if all that's been squashed. I don't know, if I've got the wrong end of the stick, I do want to say that in advance. I'm just repeating what I saw. So we're coming up to an hour. It's the first podcast back after the summer holiday break. Again, hit that subscribe button, those notification bells. Please comment down below if you can. By the way, got to say this too. Not ESP was released by Jake Keane a couple of weeks ago, and it's still in the top 10 on Vanishing Inc's website. It was at number 5 yesterday. If you haven't got not ESP yet, it's got a thriving user group over on Facebook. Some amazing ideas, some amazing routines. The reviews are absolutely glowing everywhere. I couldn't be more proud of Jake. I couldn't be more proud of his release here. It's genius level thinking. It's inspiring thinking for sure. If you haven't got it yet, go and check it out. It's, you know, a good trick when it's consistently in Vanishing Inc's top 10. I mean, top 5 and top 3 for weeks and weeks. And only now it's number 8. If you haven't got it yet, it's an incredible price. What is it? $29. It's not even $30. $29.95. 12 reviews. 4.7 overall stars on Vanishing Inc, which is a hard market to please. Yeah, for me, so far, app of the year. No questions asked. No doubt in my mind. No bias. Like, have you seen an app get better reviews? Better amounts of sales than this? It's just fantastic. So, massive bravo. If you somehow haven't got this or seen this yet, I think it'll be the best purchase you make this year. And you can get it right now. You can listen to this podcast right now. And you're going to pick it up for less than $30. So, you know, you're welcome. We haven't even covered Leviosa Phone or Lumino by Thomas Bader. The Marlowe magazine set, or Pro Keto by Brian Watson. However, the arbitrary hour limit has come to a close, and I'm excited to not completely blow myself out with all the magic products that are under the sun, because there might be nothing to talk about in the next episode, which is coming again next week. So again, hit that notification bell, subscribe button, and all that good stuff. Thank you for being patient. Thanks for letting me have a little summer break, everyone. I've really missed you all. And the next time you'll hear me will be in a week on this podcast. Or if you're on Patreon, there's something new dropping very, very soon, which I think you're all going to love. I just got to get over one little hurdle with it, which you'll understand when I teach it to you. And then I should probably post a new tutorial on YouTube as well. I haven't done that for a while since bloody renovating this house. And aside from that, I think if you want to see me, come to Ireland. If anyone actually wants to come to see me lecture in Ireland, I think it's in Dublin. I think it's Dublin. I need to double check. I think it's the Dublin Magic Club. I think. It's been organised by Darren Close. So whatever his local magic club is, I'll be there. On October, between like October 5th and 6th, I want to say. October 5th and 6th. I'll let you know more details in the next episode, because I'm completely useless and I'm still crap in my pants over the session lecture. So please comment down below. Let me know what you would like to see from an LB lecture at the Session Convention 2026. It's good to be back. I'll stop rambling. I'll see you all in the next episode. Peace.
There's a beginning. And then that.
You're listening to 108.9 FM. Adjust your frequencies, fine-tune your mind and brains as you prepare to fall through the trap.
The universe.